relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
It's estimated that 200 million people have died, probably by the time I finish this talk.
No, Joe, no. Because that would be most of America, okay? They haven't died. You should go back and take a nap in your basement. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. To millions of listeners on hundreds of stations and live on YouTube, even in the breaks. That's why we have to warn our guests to behave themselves. What a day it's been. Lou Dobbs opening the show with his new book. Victor Davis Hanson. Waleed Faris will be on momentarily with his new publication. And wow, Matt, is this like book day today or what is this? The Gorka Book Club. He's Congressman Matt Gaetz from Florida's number one district. Matt, welcome back to America First.
Look, everybody knows if you want to sell your books, you've got to get out to that great Salem listening network of folks that you've curated around these values and principles of America First that I hope last beyond the Trump presidency.
Well,
now, I think there's a lot of folks in the establishment, Seb, who just hope that Trump is a one-off and that they can return to normal. And what I'm hoping is that with this new populist America First enthusiasm, we'll be able to continue the revolution for quite some time.
All right, I have so much to ask you. The book is Firebrand, Dispatches from the Front Lines of the MAGA Revolution. I have one complaint. It's only a headshot. We don't get to see whether you're wearing your red alligator shoes. So there's a problem with the cover already, but we'll get to that. Firebrand, get it now. Congressman Matt Gaetz, follow him on Twitter, Matt Gaetz. The introduction has you described as a member of the first wave of the MAGA revolution, because you arrived when the president arrived in 2017. So let me ask you this question first. Looking back 4 years, now you've been in Congress for two terms. How has the MAGA revolution done, Congressman Gaetz?
The lobbyists and special interests have never been less powerful than they are during the Trump presidency. And by the way, they hope Joe Biden wins so they can go back to their normal swampy ways. But see, President Trump doesn't just, you know, adhere to the way we used to do things in ways that failed our people, that sold out our workers in exchange for multinational corporations, and particularly the just love affair that too many Washington politicians have had with China. You know, we now know that the Chimerica dream is a nightmare for those of us living it. And one of the things I write about in my book is the need to confront China. They are not our friend. They're a true threat to the way that we would like to see the world operate. And I think that President Trump uniquely understands that. You know, the pay-for-play systems are still too frequent in Washington, D.C. I'm the only Republican in Congress who doesn't take any PAC money from anybody, because that is just the exchange of money for favors, Seb. When those PAC folks show up with that money, they expect something for it in return. And anybody that tells you different is lying to you, no matter what party they're a member of. And so I am inviting people in this book to an ideology that puts our people first and then trusts our people that if we have an inspirational message, you don't have to go and whore out for the political action committees. You can actually just be a good public servant, show your values, and then advance your politics and your agenda that way.
Well, Donald Trump has changed politics, I think, irrevocably. And the more we have people like you at his back to support him, the better for all Americans. I don't care what party you're from or what socioeconomic class you're from, the better for all Americans. The book is Firebrand. The podcast is Hot Takes with Matt Gaetz. We're going to stretch the technical envelope right now. I want to play you a couple of cuts and get your response on the events of the last 3 days here in America. So first we have the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and we have the Speaker of the House say the following to George Stephanopoulos about what she intends to do in the next 42 days. This is video cut six. Eric, play cut.
Some have mentioned the possibility, if they try to push through a nominee in a lame duck session, that you and the House could move to impeach President Trump or Attorney General Barr as a way of stalling and preventing the Senate from acting on this nomination.
Well, we have our options. We have arrows in our quiver that I'm not about to discuss right now.
Sounds like a threat to me. Let's listen to the president's response, and then we'll get Congressman Gaetz. This is the president. Fox and Friends, cut 15.
I heard yesterday, if I do it, they're going to impeach me. So they're impeaching me for doing what constitutionally I have to do. Here's the thing, and I think then we win the election, then we win all elections if they do that.
It's incredible to think the impeachment was just at the beginning of the year. So Nancy seems to be threatening it again. The president says, then I win everything. What is your analysis of the next 42 days, Congressman?
Well, we have to take her at her word that she will do any crazy thing possible. I mean, remember, they impeached the president of the United States for demanding that we crack down on corruption in the most corrupt country in Europe. So it doesn't strain credulity to think that they might try to impeach the president for doing exactly what Barack Obama did and nominating somebody for the court. The advice and consent role is the role of the Senate, but the president has an obligation to make this nomination. And just like the nerve of Nancy Pelosi, how many years did she spend telling us, oh, Trump is going to undermine our institutions? And now she's literally talking about using the U.S. House of Representatives to try to procedurally jam the Senate so that they can't put somebody on the Supreme Court. She's talking about passing legislation to pack the court, to expand the Supreme Court. I'm more a Teddy Roosevelt guy than I am an FDR guy. But I mean, the notion that they would consider shaking the fundamentals of our American democracy just in their quest for power really, I think, shows the American people how desperate they are and probably how certain they are that Donald Trump is going to win this election.
So the book is Firebrand. It's brand new. It's by Congressman Matt Gaetz. Get it now. Follow him on Twitter at Matt Gaetz. Congressman, look, I'm biased. I get it. But I put it out there on the table. I worked for the president when he was candidate Trump. I worked for him in the White House. Now he's put me on one of his national security boards. Okay, I admit it. But I think, given what you just heard, given the insanity occurring outside the Supreme Court during the Kavanaugh hearings and at the weekend, it's like the law of gravity that the Democrats will overplay their hand. And it really indicates a landslide for the president in November. Am I being Pollyannish? What do you think?
Well, look, I don't think we take any electoral consequence for granted. I know you're not suggesting that, but I think when you talk about the patriotic emotions that I think will be stirred by this nomination, it does seem to reinforce the values and the themes that are more consistent with the Trump campaign than with the Biden campaign. Remember, for the Biden campaign to succeed, we've got to believe that America is a horrible, racist place, that we are intractably flawed because of the errors of our founding, that we can never be a great country. And I think that if we get through this, if we're able to put somebody on the court, if we're able to make a historic pick of putting another woman on the court, I think that the president can draw Americans together around the notion that we can do this, that we can confront China, that we can rebuild our economy, and that we can suppress a violent mob on our streets that poses a real threat to the American way of life that we cherish.
This is America First with me, Sebastian Gorka, on the Salem Radio Network, live streaming on YouTube, available on Facebook and Instagram TV. Don't forget, we've bust 13 million views on YouTube. Subscribe today, hit the notifications bell twice, and you won't miss a thing. We're going to play Kamala Harris, who thinks she should be the vice president, or really, I guess, the puppet master in chief. This is her doing some kind of campaign Zoom interview, and she had a certain take on Black Lives Matter that I'm curious whether you agree with. Video cut 11, Kamala Harris, play cut.
But, you know, I also understand, you know, the brilliance of being outside of the system when you have the brilliance of Black Lives Matter and that movement and what it has done to force change.
Congressman Gates, is Black Lives Matter brilliant?
Well, but no. But before we get to that, did Kamala Harris literally say she understands what it's like being outside the system? Kamala Harris moved up in California politics because she was dating Willie Brown.
Right.
I mean, like that, you know, and like what she is a straight up machine candidate. That is essentially how she moved up, became the state attorney general, and then ran for the United States Senate. So I'm not entirely sure that Kamala Harris is here to lecture any of us on what life is like outside the system. I would also suggest that the Black Lives Matter movement is explicitly Marxist. I think that is on the opposite end of the spectrum than brilliant, because every time that's been tried as a governing philosophy, it has failed. I think that America's pretty great, and I'm ready to fight for it. And I think that the president is going to go out there and rally an American electorate that will believe in this country and that, of course, will strive to be a more perfect union. But we're not going to just settle into the despair of Joe Biden's basement thinking that somehow we've got something to apologize for because we love America and we're willing to work hard to protect and improve her.
He is Matt Gaetz, Florida One. He is one of the iconoclasts fighting for your freedoms. His podcast is Hot Takes with Matt Gaetz. The new book is Firebrand, Dispatches from the Front Lines of the MAGA Revolution. With regards to Black Lives Matter and Kamala Harris, let's close this interview with the great, the one and only Ronald Reagan.
You to negotiate many times.
Negotiate? What is to negotiate? What is?
University is a public institution.
That's right. But the university,
its own community, and for the community of Berkeley that live around it.
All of it began the first time some of you who know better and are old enough to know better let young people think that they had the right to choose the laws they would obey as long as they were doing it in the name of social protest.
With God's help, this summit will mark the beginning of the end for those who practice terror and spread its vile creed. At the same time, we pray this special gathering may someday be remembered as the beginning of peace in the Middle East and maybe even all over the world.
Those were the historic words in the first year of the Trump administration from my old boss. He's my new boss again. He is the president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, talking about the possibility of peace finally in the Middle East. He was scoffed at. He was laughed at by the quote-unquote elite, the experts in the swamp. One man who did not laugh at him, one man who had been advising him when he was plain old Mr. Trump. He's one of our favorites, perhaps the most knowledgeable man I know about that benighted region of the world. He is Professor Waleed Faris, the man who has written copiously on the threat to this nation of global jihadism. And now, today, yes, today, he has a brand new book, perfectly timed, given the events of last week. It is called The Choice, Trump versus the Obama versus Obama-Biden in United States Foreign Policy. Professor Waleed Faris, welcome back to America First.
Thank you, Professor. It's always a pleasure and an honor to be with you.
Well, the honor is ours on the day of your book release.
That's right.
Me and Lou Dobbs.
On the morning.
On the morning. Okay. So let's talk about the events of last week.
Yeah.
We were told by this city that it's impossible, especially John Kerry told us, without the Palestinians, there will never be a peace. So what happened last week with the Abraham Accords?
What happened last week began in May of 2017 when President Trump went to Riyadh, met with more than 50 Arab and Muslim leaders, and asked them to do their job, which is to drive terrorism out, to drive jihadism out, and to also help him contain Iran. So that's exactly what this administration has been able to do. Obviously, this is a change from the Obama policy, which basically capitulated to Iran, signed the Iran deal, did not go on force against the ISIS, and then had it not been for the pressure that the opposition put on the administration for 3 years, probably this would have happened earlier. But despite all the pressure by the opposition, President Trump was able to create the conditions for two peace processes that happened in front of our own eyes.
In my opinion, it's one of the most important speeches he ever gave. The Warsaw speech, the Riyadh speech, his State of the Union addresses as well. But when he this was not a protocol speech.
Yeah.
We were involved. I was in the White House. It wasn't just the standard, we like you, let's have a nice event. It was tough. He said to them, you have got to get rid of the jihadists.
Yeah.
And you've got to get the he used the phrase, you've got to get the extremists out of your mosques.
Drive them out. Yeah.
Let me share with you what a female, a woman from the region said to me in Arab. Mm-hmm. And tell me if this was unusual.
Okay.
About 10 days after that tough speech in front of 52 Arab and Muslim heads of states, she said to me, that's the speech we've been waiting for 16 years in the region. Is that indicative of reality?
Absolutely, Professor. Absolutely. I have heard the same statements. Even before President Trump was even a candidate. And he actually, in my first meeting with him in December of 2015, he asked me, what do you think? Are they coming to peace? I said, you know, Mr. Candidate, they are coming to peace. And if you make it, and if you go into that direction, if you form that coalition, you're the one, you're the leader who's going to make it possible.
But explain to me how the quote-unquote elite, the experts, got it so wrong. We played the audio last week from John Kerry. They said it's impossible without the Palestinians. They laughed at this real estate, you know, magnate from Manhattan knows anything about foreign policy. Why did it take somebody who's not a member of the swamp to fix it, Waleed? Explain.
Well, there are so many explanations. Even in my book, there's a whole chapter on how they made mistakes, strategic mistakes. That's the political establishment, the elites. The apologists, all that is one group. That would be lawmakers, politicians, media people, but also academia. This is where the whole thing has started.
Right.
The genesis was in the academia. So they envisaged the Middle East the way they like it, the way the donations are coming, remember, in the 1990s?
Especially to this city.
To this city, to these campuses, and that transported itself into the political establishment out of which Barack Obama came. He came from those campuses, and there was this belief that it's not going to happen unless Hamas is happy. And of course, all the Arab populations who were
The Muslim Brotherhood is happy.
Certainly the Muslim Brotherhood lobby was part of that. So that was one mistake. And the second mistake is their inexplicable attachment to the Iran deal. Well, in my book, I explain why they are attached to the Iran deal. It is a matter of interests as well. Big economic interests.
The book is The Choice by Professor Waleed Faris. Follow him at Waleed Faris. Pharres, The Choice, Trump versus Obama, Biden in U.S. foreign policy, released today. Get it now. Incredibly timely after last week's events. Your comment, I'll give you a little bit of inside baseball. You know this anyway, but I want to share it with our millions of listeners and viewers. So I was working national security issues, but I left Jared and I left Jason, the chief negotiator, to do their thing when it came to the Middle East. And my biggest problem was, I guess it was a good decision on their behalf. As newbies, as people who hadn't done diplomacy or foreign policy, they said, well, we're going to have a tabula rasa. We're going to have a blank slate, and we're going to talk to everybody. And we're going to talk to the Palestinian Authority. We're going to talk to everybody. And I warned them. I said, look, you have to understand one thing. In the region, not everyone is acting or negotiating in good faith. Mm-hmm. And the Palestinian Authority are not interested in peace. They said, well, we have to work that out for ourselves. It took them about a year and a half, but they did. And this is how we arrived at this juncture. Is it not correct to say that the obstacle is not Saudi Arabia? The obstacle is not UAE or Bahrain or Yemen. The obstacle is the Palestinian Authority and their conceptualization of peace, which means really, as far as I'm concerned, a peace without Israel, with the destruction of Israel.
Oh, no, you have a point. And actually, I fully understand what you mentioned, because previously in the campaign, we had some similarity experiences. I met with many advisors coming from the Palestinian Authority, and I warned them. I told them, you may have a chance to have a leader in the White House who will actually make the change in the region, and there will be an Arab coalition, and you're going to stick with the Arab coalition. Don't stick with Iran. Don't stick with Hezbollah. Don't stick with Hamas. So unfortunately, because of the funding situation, they did not understand that the changes are going to be different. And as you just mentioned, the speech by the president in Saudi Arabia has not only captivated those who want to change, but has mobilized. You mentioned UAE. UAE's fight against the jihadists has been for years. But the Obama administration, which was in charge in the city, refused to listen to them. The reforms by MBS, they were only accepted and understood by this administration. And same goes for Bahrain. The Muslim Brotherhood lobby in the city was so powerful in the Obama administration that we did not see them moving.
And let's not forget who was in the front row of the Al-Azhar University when Obama gave his apology tour speech in Cairo. If you don't believe me, look it up. It was the Muslim Brotherhood, the progenitor of the caliphate in terms of extremist groups like Al-Qaeda and ISIS. That was the difference of an Obama administration. We are talking to the author of The Choice, Trump versus Obama, Biden and U.S. Policy, Waleed Faris, back after these messages. There is nothing I love more than a nice, juicy American steak. Recently, I met some incredible patriots, and I would like to introduce you to my friends at GoodRanchers.com. Now you can skip the inconsistent meat aisle at the grocery store forevermore. Get the very best American meat delivered constantly right to your door. And yes, I said American. All their meat is raised and harvested right here in the U.S. of A. Good Ranchers partners with American farmers all across our great land to get the best quality meat delivered with free shipping right to your door. Go to GoodRanchers.com to choose your scheduled delivery today. 100% American-born, raised, and harvested beef and chicken delivered consistently to your home. T-bone, ribeyes, fillets, and more. Oh, Porterhouse, that's my favorite. Use promo code GORKA, G-O-R-K-A, to save $20 off your purchase. That's GoodRanchers.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A, to save $20. GoodRanchers.com, promo code GORKA.
For decades, the Jewish state has prayed for peace. And this is why today we're filled with such profound gratitude. I am grateful to you, President Trump, for your decisive leadership. You have unequivocally stood by Israel's side. You have boldly confronted the tyrants of Tehran. You've proposed a realistic vision for peace between Israel and the Palestinians. And you have successfully brokered the historic peace that we are signing today, a peace that has broad support in Israel, in America, in the Middle East, indeed in the entire world.
A truly historic moment last week from the balcony of the White House with the Prime Minister of Israel, Bibi Netanyahu, giving his address prior to the signing with both Bahrain and the UAE of the Abraham Accords. No one better to analyze that than our guest in studio, Professor Waleed Faris, Fox News national security and foreign policy analyst and author of the brand new book published today, The Choice, Trump versus Obama Biden in U.S. Foreign Policy. Dr. Faris, the phrase that stuck in my mind when I heard that live was this administration, this president has boldly confronted the tyrants of Tehran. Talk to us about the previous 8 years with regards to the tyrants of Tehran and what the Obama administration did.
If there is one subject that I have made center to this book, it's really the Iran deal. And that's a night and day difference between the two administrations. For 8 years, since 2009, not even since 2015, the Obama team that became the Obama administration, and God knows if they have not had previous contact with the Iran regime, which is very possible, as we hear right now, since he, President Obama then, and Senator Kerry were both in the Senate and pushing for that direction. But that's another subject. So since 2009, have been pushing for a deal. which basically is a partnership with the Iran regime, not with the people of Iran.
Which is a dictatorship.
Which is a dictatorship, which is behind most of the terror activities against the United States, our allies, Israel, Arabs, and even others. So once they reached that deal, what did they do? They empowered the Iran regime and did not get any concessions from them. $150 billion was transferred to the Iran regime. What did the Iranians do with it? Buy strawberries? No. They invested
in pomegranates.
Invested in their own economy. No, they started to buy weapons.
Yes.
So we were actually indirectly funding the Iran regime.
But at the time, John Kerry even gave an interview where he admitted, yes, some of this money will go to terrorism. If I give $5 to a terrorist organization, Waleed, I can be charged with the federal crime of material support to terrorism. The Obama administration did it with $150 billion. What is the possible justification?
Well, what would come after that? The 150 other appetizer. What comes after are all those economic financial interests linked to the administration who would open up the market inside Iran and obtain enough money that would fund all those who have supported the Iran deal, not just in the United States, Britain, France, Italy, Germany. So it was a much bigger picture than just sending the 150.
So it was about also making money with the dictatorship, not just giving the dictatorship its money, but making money with them.
That was the condition by the Ayatollahs to the Obama administration. We need our $150 billion. Then we'll open our markets. But there is something I reveal in the book. It's not just Iran. Iran controls Iraq, Syria, Lebanon. Syria and Lebanon's coasts have access to what could be the largest deposit of gas in the world. We're talking about a construct that the American public did not even understand. This was a partnership with an empire, not just with a regime.
And you mentioned it right now in the last 30 seconds we have in this segment. What is the state of Lebanon today, especially after that explosion? Are things on a knife edge still?
Unfortunately, Lebanon has been left by the Obama administration initially to Hezbollah. Hezbollah rules Lebanon. That's the problem.
And is there now a possibility with the sanctions to weaken the Iranian influence in Lebanon?
The sanctions are only doing this. And what Lebanese citizens are telling us, telling Congress, the administration, and of course myself, is that we approve of what the Trump administration, the Trump White House is doing, putting more and more of these sanctions on Hezbollah and the allies of Hezbollah.
The largest sponsor of state terrorism in the world today, which was seen as a partner by the last administration. But as some senator from Illinois once said, what was his name? Oh, yeah, Obama. Elections have consequences. We're talking to the author of The Choice, Trump versus Obama Biden in U.S. Foreign Policy, published today. He is Dr. Waleed Faris. Follow him on Twitter at Waleed Faris, P-H-A-R-E-S. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, broadcasting live from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor. I am so grateful to the father and son team behind this great product, Pete and Seth Talbot, who realized that at least 100 million people are struggling today in our great nation with some form of pain, whether it's neck pain, shoulder pain, back pain, hip or knee pain. And they, Pete and Seth, are on a mission to help you. How? Because they've created a product that is drug-free, that attacks the source of your pain, which is the inflammation. And any one of you listening right now can find out if it works for you, like it works for me and tens of thousands of your fellow Americans, by going to ReliefFactor.com right now. All you have to do is order the 3-week quick starter pack. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know if it works for you like it works for me. Get what your body needs to heal itself. I think you've waited long enough. As the president says, what have you got to lose? You deserve to find out if you could be the next ReliefFactor.com success story. Do it now. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com.
Sebastian, well, listen to him, He's with us.
Thank you, Mr. President. We're chatting in the break about who the next Bond should be. Lots of rumors on the internet this weekend. Professor Farris has a certain idea. Some do the national radio show. Look, I'm ready, guys. You know my phone number. Bond villain or Bond? I'm up for it. I think I've got the accent. I wouldn't have to fake it like some of those Americans who they've got on the list. We are back with the author of a brand new book, The Choice, Trump versus the Obama-Biden regime. I like it. In U.S. foreign policy, out today. Follow him right now. Fox News, national security and foreign policy analyst. I told you I wasn't going to tell you what I'm going to ask you. There's no spoilers. There's no script here. I'm just going to surprise him. I'm going to ambush him. When it comes to the last regime in the White House, I have a theory, because I'm not friends with any of them. I'm not friends with Ben Rhodes. I'm not friends with...
Visible.
I think it is an admixture. I think it is a toxic combination. When you look at their foreign policy, when you look at their domestic policy, a toxic mixture of ignorance and arrogance. Your thoughts?
Wow, that's a very, very powerful statement you make.
Because how do they make... I mean, when you think I'm going to give $150 billion to the Shia dictatorship in the Middle East, there's no possible justification. So is it ignorance with arrogance, or is there something deeper I'm missing?
No, it's not that deep. Actually, those who came to the White House or to power in Washington, D.C. in 2009, were elected in 2008, came from where? From universities.
Yeah.
What they are repeating are the ignorance, though it has a lot of information. But you have information and you don't have the understanding. And it's true for the intelligence community. You have worked with them. I've worked with them. And I used to tell them, if you read, that's not enough. What do you understand from it? So unfortunately, the Obama administration was given concepts from academia, and they hit the real world with all that information.
And let's stop here. The academic world had taught them what? The Orientalists had taught them what? Yeah. The West is bad.
Yeah, America
is the new imperial force. Yeah. If there's a problem in the world, from terrorism to climate change, it's because we are the cause of it. America is the cause of it. Therefore, when these people filter into the White House, what happens? They have to punish us.
That's what happened. But there's something worse, Professor. They told them that the peoples of the region do not want what we want. The people of the region will not accept any change. So they started all their strategy on the assumption that our allies are the Ayatollahs. Our allies are the Muslim Brotherhood, not the millions of Egyptians and Syrians and Lebanese and Iraqis who rose against the jihadists. That's a huge mistake. And America paid the price.
Yeah. Well, talk to us about how things changed. You advised candidate Trump, and now you have a brand new book, The Choice, Trump versus Obama, Biden, U.S. foreign policy. How big a change was January 20th, 2017, when it comes to American foreign policy?
Well, the change from our perspective, you mean, from our administration?
For the world, when Donald Trump becomes commander-in-chief.
Well, the change is like you cannot even measure, because it meets energies that have been waiting. And it was waiting since actually the end of the Cold War. We didn't have an administration. Now, I have to say it very clearly, not even under Bush administration, because his administration as well was opposed by these lefto jihadist thing. And of course, the Obama administration made it worse. And then all what the Trump administration had was 4 years to try to change the direction of that ship. Amidst very strong opposition, the bureaucratic opposition that we know about. Which still exists, of course. He needs another push, another mandate.
Another four years
by the American public to trust him so that he could complete that change. For now, if we go back to the Biden-Obama doctrine, it's going to be much worse than it was before.
You write in your book, you have a chapter on the resistance. Why a resistance to Trump? Explain where this came from and why there had to be an internal resistance to the man chosen by 63 million Americans.
It is still an enigma to all of us in the business of national security. How can a liberal democracy, how can the largest democracy on earth has a bureaucracy that resists an elected president?
Yeah.
I mean, not just on foreign affairs, but also on domestic affairs. In my simple analysis on national security, it's because of two reasons. Number one, the Obama administration installed a very strong bureaucracy. This is something that previous administrations have not done because they trust the system. So you have a lot of appointees, a lot of people. And then second, it's ideological. And when you have an ideological team that opposes the new policies. And thirdly, we just mentioned it, huge economic interests were at play. The Iran deal, and I didn't even mention to you, but that would be maybe for another section, there was a deal to be prepared with the Muslim Brotherhood.
No, talk to us.
As large, as big, as rich as the Iran deal. Why do you think the Obama administration toppled Gaddafi, toppled Mubarak, was toppling also the institutions in Tunisia and replacing them with whom? With Muslim Brotherhood. What was the actual goal? To form a MB, Ikhwan, entity from Tunisia all the way to Jordan. And what would be the next goal? The Gulf. The goal of the Brotherhood was to bring down the UAE, Bahrain, Saudi Arabia. We have it.
With what logic?
With
for,
the logic
for Obama.
Obama intellectuals told him that the Brotherhood are middle class. These are the equivalent of our social democrats. See, when ignorance, they talk about ignorance,
but these
they're
are
the ignorant.
But these are the men who in 1928 swore to recreate the theocratic caliphate that Kamal Mustafa Atatürk dissolved in 24. These are fundamentalist Muslims.
But here's where the problem. Our neo-Bolshevik Marxists, I'm using this for the first time.
I like
time.
That.
Are bourgeois at the end of the day. They're not even the real ones.
Yeah.
They think they could do and they can fool the Brotherhood. In fact, the Brotherhood fooled them.
Oh, yes. Shocking. Absolutely shocking information. That's why you need to read it all. It is out today. Order it online. It's by Dr. Waleed Faris from Fox News. He is their foreign policy national security analyst. The book is The Choice, Trump versus Obama Biden in U.S. Foreign Policy. The things you need to know about what they were planning should Hillary have won. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting on YouTube, streaming on Facebook, available on Instagram TV. And don't forget, podcast. I know you love podcasts. You can subscribe for free. Subscribe on YouTube. Hit the notifications bell twice and you will never miss a thing. And don't forget our website. We have so much content there, more than 3,000 videos already loaded. It's sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com. Back with the good professor in a moment, but first things first, I know you have a cell phone. Even if it's one of those flip phones, they're cool too. But who is your cell phone provider? Because if it's one of the big companies, I've got some really bad news for you. When you pay your bill at the end of the month, they take a portion and they donate it to things that you detest, you hate, that are fundamentally un-American. They donate to Planned Parenthood. They fund Democrat candidates, gun control organizations. Why are you letting them use your money against you? Stop them today. Join the only Christian conservative cell phone company. It's Patriot Mobile. They are rated number one in America for customer service. You can transfer your number. You'll get a free phone or a free month service if you use my name. And at the end of the month, guess what? They take a portion of your bill and they donate it to things you love, whether it's immigration reform, First Amendment organizations, right to life organizations. Join the good guys. Call them 972-PATRIOT or go to patriotmobile.com/GORKA. That's patriotmobile.com/GORKA or 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-728-7468. patriotmobile.com/GORKA.
Dr. G is in the house on America First.
You heard them. They're promising even more riots because the president's going to go forward. He's going to nominate somebody to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Are you ready for the riots? I'm ready. I'm ready to rumble, but you need a good night's sleep. You've got to have your sleep, right? So go with Mike Lindell's My Pillow. Rest your head on the only pillow that never gets hot, never loses its shape. Just cuddles your cranium all night. He sold 51 million of them. The president uses them. I use them.
They're that good. Use my name to get that massive discount at MyPillow.com or call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K for up to 50% off all of his incredible products. We are rounding out our last hour with a good friend of the show, and personally over me, he is Professor Waleed Faris, Fox News analyst on all things foreign policy, national security, author of the new book, The Choice, Trump versus Obama, Biden in U.S. Foreign Policy. Get it now if you want to know the truth of just how consequential the last election is and how consequential the next one could be in just 42 days if the wrong decision is taken by this nation. Talk to us in the last 2 minutes we have, Professor. What happens if sleepy, creepy Biden, Beijing Biden wins with Kamala Harris?
Do you remember the movie Apocalypse Now?
I do.
It will be Apocalypse then. I mean, to be very clear
about
it. It will
be January 20th, Apocalypse yeah, Now the on second, inauguration.
The second version. So quickly, Iran will be back into the game. Obama/Biden, real administration, will go back to the Iran deal. They'll give them more money. They will recognize their influence in Iraq, Syria, Lebanon. Hezbollah will get stronger.
Muslim Brotherhood.
Muslim Brotherhood will be all over the region, Egypt, Tunisia, Libya, Jordan. Our allies who have just signed a peace agreement with Israel, UAE and Saudi Arabia, will be put under huge pressure. So if I could go on for minutes, I don't have those.
Talk about the safety of Americans. What happens to the safety of Americans?
Well, once you do this, you empower Iran, you empower the Brotherhood, then you are empowering the jihadists at the end of the day. And the jihadists with open borders, remember that other connection?
Hang on, this is so important. They said the borders will be kept open.
Exactly.
If he wins, if Biden wins.
The collapse of the American borders with Mexico, and actually all borders, but those are going to send a signal, the mother of all signals, to masses to be brought in by radicals. I call them the neo-Bolsheviks. But that's not the real problem. Within that mass, you're going to find a lot of jihadists coming to...
Because they've said it in their documents.
Yes.
They've said, ISIS has said, we will exploit the refugee flows.
And what did Hezbollah say and their allies in the region when Portland and Seattle and all that exploded? This is the American Intifada. It's online. So they're going to be coming to join the American Intifada. That's why I called it Apocalypse then.
Friends, this is why I don't care what your job is. This is why national security and foreign policy matters. Because these things have consequences for your safety, your family's safety. Read Everything This Man Knows. The book is The Choice. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Now more than ever, keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Never give up. Never give in. And stay frosty. And don't forget, this episode of our podcast is sponsored by our good friends at GoodRanchers.com. American steaks. Do good. Eat good.